The mantel clock was exquisite, even though its hands rested in silence at 2:20. Carved, near as I could tell, from a single piece of mahogany, its glimmering patina looked warm to the touch. Rosebuds etched into the swirls of wood grain flanked the sides like two bronzed bridal bouquets. The clock's top was rounded and smooth, like the draped head of a Madonna. I ran my palm across the polished surface, and it was like touching warm water. Legend was, this clock originally belonged to the young wife of a Southampton doctor, and that it stopped keeping time in 1912, the very moment the Titanic sank and its owner became a widow. The grieving woman's only consolation was the clock's apparent prescience of her husband's horrible fate, and its kinship with the pain that left her inert in sorrow. She never remarried, and she never had the clock fixed. I bought it sight unseen from my great-aunt's antique store, like so many of the items I'd found for the display cases. In the year and a half I'd been in charge of the inventory, the best pieces had come from the obscure estate sales that my British friend Emma Downing came upon while tooling around the southeast of England looking for oddities for her costume shop. She found the clock at an estate sale in Felixstowe, and the auctioneer, so she told me, had been unimpressed with the clock's sad history. Emma said he'd read the accompanying note about the clock, as if reading the rules for rugby. My mother watched now as I positioned the clock on the lacquered black mantel that rose above a marble fireplace. She held a lead crystal vase of silk daffodils in her hands. "It should be ticking," she frowned. "People will wonder why it's not ticking." She set the vase down on the hearth and stepped back. Her heels made a clicking sound on the parquet floor beneath our feet. "You know, you probably would have sold it by now if it was working. Did Wilson even look at it? You told me he could fix anything." I flicked a wisp of fuzz off the clock's face. I hadn't asked the shop's resident and unofficial repairman to fix it. It wouldn't be the same clock if it was fixed.
"It would be a clock that did what it was supposed to do."
My mother leaned in and straightened one of the daffodil blooms. "This isn't just any clock, Mom." I took a step back, too. My mother folded her arms across the front of her Ann Taylor suit, pale blue, the color of baby blankets and robin's eggs, her signature color.
"Look, I get all that about the Titanic and the young widow, but you can't prove any of it, Jane," she said. "You could never sell it on that story."
A flicker of sadness wobbled inside me at the thought of parting with the clock.
This happens when you work in retail. Sometimes you have a hard time selling what you bought to sell.
"I'm thinking maybe I'll keep it."
"You don't make a profit by hanging on to the inventory." My mother whispered this, but I heard her. She intended for me to hear her.
This was her way of saying what she wanted to about her aunt's shop, which she'd inherit when Great Aunt Thea passed, without coming across as interfering. My mother thinks she tries very hard not to interfere, but it is one of her talents, interfering when she thinks she's not. It drives my younger sister Leslie nuts.
"Do you want me to take it back to the store?" I asked.
"No, it's perfect for this place. I just wish it were ticking," she nearly pouted. I reached for the box at my feet that I brought the clock in along with a set of Shakespeare's works, a pair of pewter candlesticks, and a Wedgwood vase. "You could always get a CD of sound effects and run a loop of the ticking clock," I joked. She turned to me, childlike determination in her eyes.
"I wonder how hard it would be to find a CD like that."
"I was kidding, Mom. Look what you have to work with." I pointed to the simulated stereo system she'd placed into a polished entertainment center behind us. My mother never used real electronics in the houses she staged, although with the clientele she usually worked with, affluent real estate brokers and equally well-off buyers and sellers, she certainly could.